So, Marcia, you've been a part of the library scene, the literary scene, for how long? It's been a long time, because when I think of literature in the Kalamazoo, the greater Kalamazoo area, I think of you. So how long have you been at Portage District Library?
Well, I've been at Portage Library for 35 years in November. And before that, I was a children's librarian in Sturgis. And before that, I taught English in high school.
Yeah, 35 years. And the reason we're talking today is because you've had the audacity to announce that you're going to retire.
Yes, but I'm sure I'm not going to stay away from libraries. I love libraries. So I will be volunteering at Richland Library, which is my library. But yes, I'm going to be retiring and let the younger generation come in. They're full of ideas and very exciting.
You had no shortage of that. So let's go back. Let's go back to when you first became interested in libraries. Or do you remember when you got your library card?
Yes. Actually, it was Bridge Street Library in Grand Rapids, where I grew up. It was a library that was an old building, and it had quarter sawn tables with the little yellow light. And I would go there after school, and I would just think, I want to live here. I really want to live here. And the books at that time, most of them were bound, and I would even just smell the books.
Yeah.
It was just, oh. But that was my first encounter. My first card came from Bridge Street Library in Grand Rapids.
It's a card to the world.
Yes, it is. And there were so many different options then. And you could go in a separate, in a different area and just kind of go through all of those books and then go through. It was just, it was a window to the world and a window into other people's lives. And also it let you kind of disengage from your life and escape into another place, which I did quite often.
Yeah. And we're in the same age range, so I'm sure the things that I remember about libraries are things that you remember. So different from today. Card catalogs, for instance. And when you check out a book, it would have that slip of paper in there. You put a card in with a date. What other kinds of things do you remember in 35 years of working in Portage's library? You must see so many changes.
Yeah, where should I begin? Definitely card catalogs. We were also all on one level, so that we would put a sign up at adult services saying, go to the children's area if you need something. We'd help all over the library, which we do now to some extent, but things are a little more complex. So we have our own circulation department, our own children's department, which is in the lower level. So we're more departmentalized, although we still work together, certainly. We knew people who came in, we could see them come in. Now there's all kinds of nooks and crannies in the library, and people come in and I might not see them the whole day. And they
Although
might
nooks and crannies are part of the reason people come to libraries, don't they?
Oh, yes, yes. And I have to get into this part, too. We have so many bare walls so that we can now have four galleries. That's new. I remember libraries checking out artwork. I checked out artwork from Kalamazoo Public Library when I was in college because I had cracks
that.
In my walls.
Yeah.
Yes. And so, and now we have them on the walls. We don't check them out anymore. We also have so much AV, DVDs, MP3s, all kinds of different things to check out. And in little packages, now there are going to be DVDs on thumb drives. So many things electronic. Another big change.
Technology, yeah.
Technology has been huge.
A big one. Yeah.
And what I've found as far as a reference librarian, before it would be a lot of reader's advisory, which means I want a book that has action, sex, but no pirates and no counts and no bad words. But now we get a lot more of how do I make this Kindle work? And how can I get my unemployment check? And how do I print this airplane fare and schedule? We scan, we fax, we change PDFs to Word documents. Kids are now doing PowerPoints in third grade for their classes. So almost everything is online. And there is a divide between people who know how to do that and don't. So we do a lot of that one-on-ones, we call them, with people, showing them how to use even email. There's a number of people who still don't know how to email, don't have computers. So we do a lot of that kind of thing, too.
So you've just answered what I was going to ask about the relevancy of libraries when, you know, there are people that now and then, happily not in my circles, who say, how is a library relevant anymore? Everything's online. Everything's on the internet. Why do I need to go to the library? But you've just kind of answered that.
Yes. We facilitate getting information. You can certainly Google, but to get relevant, accurate information, librarians are still a very helpful people.
You mean everything on the internet isn't true?
No. No. The other thing I think a library does, and I asked Michael as we were walking up here, what do libraries mean to you? And he said, you know, I just got back from Ireland, and they remind me of the pubs. They're the living room of the world, the living room of the neighborhood. You come in, and we still have people that come in, quite a few, who sit at tables every day. Yeah. It's a group of men, actually, who come in, sit at tables every day, and they discuss world politics. We have muffins in the market. They come and talk to each other. Now, they can get this online themselves, and they can go to their own brokers or whatever, but they come, and it is so, we have to expand the room now. It is, and if we don't have it, we hear about it. So, and we have a grieving group. We have combat veterans writing group. We just had International Mystery Book Group, had a great time last night. People still need each other beyond a screen, and people meet
each other.
Not
only still, I think maybe more so.
I think so too.
Because technology can also isolate people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think of us as kind of D&W of the neighborhood. People come in and we have more hugs going on in our library. We have
you can check out hugs.
You can check out hugs. That's right. Actually, there is a library that checks out people that you can talk to.
I read about that.
Yes.
That's fascinating.
And that's the cool thing about libraries. We're versatile enough to mold ourselves around the needs of the community. And every library does that. I mean, it depends on what, if you're in a small library like my Richland Library, or if you're Kalamazoo Public Library, they've done wonderful things for literacy and for an urban setting. So libraries are nimble enough to be able to do that. And we are all social workers and concierge and
therapists,
exactly. And that's why I absolutely love this job. There's no day that's the same as the next.
You know you're going to have withdrawal symptoms.
I know.
But that's why you're volunteering at Richland, I take it.
Yes, I am. And I will, if they need me at Portage Library, I will certainly go back too. But they'll be just fine, and I think I'll have some time to use the library coming in the front door, which I haven't done. I come in the back door, and it's really good for me to come in the front door. And also, I don't know my community that well. I don't know Richland that well. And going, when you're new to a community, one of the best things to do is go to the library.
Agreed.
See what kind of events they have. There's book groups going on. You can go and talk to the staff. They can tell you what's happening in the community. It's the best place to start out.
And pretty much everything is free, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you do a lot of author events. I've had the privilege of enjoying some of that. And that's a big part of what you've done at Portage. What is the role of libraries in getting local literature and local literary talent out to the community?
It's huge, I think. We are in a place, we are neutral. We aren't selling anything. We are, hopefully we have accessibility for everyone. It is our job to showcase, to spotlight, to honor the talent like you. Zinta just had a reading at the library and it was wonderful and wonderfully attended, which we knew would happen with Zinta. But I think that that's extremely important. It's up to us to keep tabs on what's going on in the literary scene and locally. And I believe that way for art, music. We're now doing some performance art. We're the community center. We are a community center within our area. And I think it's really important that we showcase our local talents. And that's kindergarten through seniors. And we do that. We have four galleries. We bring in about 210 artists a year. And then again, the readings, We are so rich with literary talent, as most of you know. I love this community, but a lot of them will tell me, Marcia, you know, we've got a new book coming out, or you know, somebody has a new book coming out. And a lot of people don't know, or we have great bookstores here too.
Yeah.
And they're very, very supportive as well. But I think it's our job, definitely our job as a library. We're starting a new local author collection. So people can come in. It's going to be fiction and nonfiction. We're letting everybody in who has new books, and that's going to be really important for people to just see the kind of talent we have here.
And there's lots of it.
There sure is.
You know, I've been looking at it for years, for decades, and I still haven't. I think I'm just at the tip of the iceberg.
Absolutely.
Every time I turn around, there's more talent out there that's waiting to be discovered. And as I listen to you, you mentioned Kindles, that people walk in with Kindles. But I haven't really heard you say much about e-books. And I have been reading out there that print is not dying the way they predicted at some point. What are you seeing in the library between print and, you know, good old-fashioned books that have that nice book smell to them and e-readers?
There are a lot of people using e-readers, and that readership is going up.
It is.
I just talked with our head of adult services, and he said, the reason that print is going down right now doesn't have a lot to do with ebooks. It has to do with the economy. When the economy goes up, our checkout goes down, and that's been historical. People buy the books.
Instead of borrow.
I think people like to have the print in hand. Many people do, and it could be my age and that it's what I'm used to. But it's an art form. A book to me is an art form. You feel it, you smell it, you can see how long it is before it'll be done. And I love to have Kindles and ebooks when I travel.
Yes.
I think they're great but they're a tool, and it's just another format. Reading, I think Kindles have increased reading, but I don't think that print is going to go away.
No, I don't think so either. And some of the articles that I've been reading about that say that retention is much better. Comprehension is much better. I'm not sure how that works with the brain, but that there is something about reading print that we retain what we read and we comprehend what we read better than on an e-reader. And like you, I'm one of those who does both, but I find that increasingly I'm going back to print.
Yes.
So maybe it's the romance of the book. I don't know. So what got you interested in library science in the first place? We heard about that first lovely experience. But at what point and how did you decide, I want to be a librarian, not just live in the library? But
Well, I started out getting a degree in English. First engineering, then English. Then I thought, well, reading, because I want to be a teacher. I always wanted to be a teacher. So I started degrees in a lot of different things. And nothing really stuck. And I don't have really talents in any particular, like some people are very good at music or art or, and I don't have anything like that, but I'm a generalist.
Marcia, you're a poet.
Thank you. But I'm curious. That's, I think, an art form too. And I love exploring a topic, whatever it might be. And so I thought, you know, it would be really kind of cool to be in a library since I want to live in one anyway, and now I do. So I think, why not? So I started degrees in many things. Finally, my father says, after going to school for 10 years, he said, why don't you kind of
settle on something, honey?
Yeah. Get settled in there. So that's when I did, and I have never regretted it.
And anything else that you want to add about libraries, what people should do in the community to keep their libraries healthy?
I think use them. Come in and use them. Come in and see us. There is something for everyone. Truly, there is something for everyone in the library. There are surprises whenever you come in the door. We have new displays. We have new books, new DVDs, new magazines. If you think you're going to be bored, come on in and we will stop that. You will never be bored in your life if you come into a library. It is a place to help you explore the world and yourself too. So just come visit us. And if you have any questions or whatever, just come on in. And we're pretty friendly, friendly bunch. So
I can vouch for that. Actually, when you say about exploring yourself, libraries seem to be very busy these days also with genealogy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's our biggest program. Over 100 people come.
Wow.
To our programs on genealogy. People are very interested in that, and all ages.
And employment services?
Yes. We have resume makeover. We have a really excellent business librarian who will help you, and all of us will too. But we have a business computer that has unlimited time that you can get onto and work on your resume, can help you do that. Lots of materials on that. So just come on in, and also we can refer you to places that you need to.
And don't you have a pretty tight collaboration with schools too?
We do. Our youth department is very active with the schools. With the curriculum, we have different programs, Jeopardy and some other programs that we do with the schools. So absolutely, and actually the high school, we're going to be working with the high school art teachers to have some collaborative art exhibits and receptions coming up to really, again, celebrate the artists, the young artists coming up.
You know, Marcia, I've spent many, many years of my adulthood working in different libraries too. And when I stopped, I realized that one of the hardest things was that I had to start paying overdues.
Oh.
I had to pay attention to due dates, and that was hard. And I also realized I'd taken home about 100 books. So on my last day, I had to return all of them, and all of a sudden, they had to talk about an expansion.
Absolutely. Me too. It's one of the reasons I became a librarian.
Get those books, and you can keep them.
Yes.
So you have a good library at home?
Oh, yes, we do. We have lots and lots of libraries, or lots and lots of books. Michael collects children's books. And
Michael is your husband.
Michael is my husband, sorry. And
the guy in the pubs traveling
to
Ireland.
That pub guy. And I have a lot of books that, a lot of them signed. I've been doing this 35 years, so I have a lot of very cherished books and cherished memories of authors that I've met and very fortunately have stayed in touch with some of them. So we do have a very big library, and I love to be surrounded by books wherever I am.
So who are some of those authors? I mean, are there some authors that really stick out to you and those warm memories?
Joe Haywood is one. D.E. Johnson is another one. There have been some that Susan Harrison, who wrote from up north, she wrote Prehistoric. I haven't talked to her for a long time.
She did a reading here?
She did. And of course, Bonnie Jo and Di Seuss, who are going to be at the library soon. Many, many poets who are here. Sue Hubble is another one who came with her brother, Bill Gilbert, and they were Portage people. And that was years ago. And she writes a lot about nature. So there's been quite a few people who have come through. We're going to be bringing back Jerry Dennis, who was here last year. He was the Read Together, and he's coming to Richland. And I just so gracious and so generous. Most authors are.
So you're also involved in the Kalamazoo Poetry Festival. Talk to us about that.
Yes, we are very excited. We are brand new nonprofit, less than a year old. And we had a poetry festival in 2014 and bringing in two poets. And this year we're bringing in Natalie Diaz and Jamal May. And we'll be having probably about 8 workshops around town for poets of all ages, and which will be how to publish. It'll be workshops on different types of poetry. So I'm very excited about this group. We collaborate with 15 other organizations around town and work with them on programming using poetry as a vehicle for people to express themselves, obviously, and so that everyone in the community can have a voice.
Do you do like off years of local talent and the opposite year?
Yes. So last year, 2015, we had a local poet reading. Thanks for bringing that up. And we had 15 organizations, again, that brought in their readers. We had everything from Peace Pizzazz. We had some young students doing that. We had students from K College, from KVCC, from Western. We also had some people from the Black Arts and Cultural Center. And so we had people from all walks of life come in, some people who had never read a poem in public and were excited about that as an adult. So we just had a great time. And it was in the Civic Theater, too. So and the organizations were very excited to participate again. So we'll do that again in 2017.
I get the feeling that when you retire, you're not going to be any less busy.
No. I have 2016 and 2017 scheduled books already
going. There you go. Good to hear that. Thank you, Marcia.
Thank you.